So this is a fun opportunity for you, the listener, to get to really know us, you know, outside of coming on, talking about research, talking about crazy Netflix docuseries, and really just our life, because I think we're kind of interesting. Maybe you are too. Let's go!
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go.
All right, today we have a very fun episode in store. We are going to be playing a game that I think you, the viewer, are going to enjoy, all about our fitness experience as That Fitness Couple. All right, so we're going to shuffle these up. What we have on these cards on this side are different adjectives: most memorable, embarrassing, funniest, most unexpected. And then what we have here on the other side are gym experiences, like moment at the gym. Could also be a client experience. And so no holds bar on this episode. And we're going to be kept to about 90 seconds. So would you like to have the honors and go first? Or do you want me to lead with this one?
I'll go ahead and take the risk and jump right in. I could choose from either pile.
You could choose one from here and one from here.
Oh, I have to do two at once?
Absolutely. That's going to tell you most memorable client experience.
Got it. Okay, now I think I understand. Funniest.
Ew, I'm excited.
Funniest outdoor adventure.
And go.
Pass. I have no funny outdoor adventures.
Really?
Most of my outdoor adventures were more like, I don't even know, this is a terrible one.
Okay, pass.
I'm passing on that one.
Okay.
Can I choose a different one?
I would actually.
I don't like outdoor. I'm not the outdoor person.
What? You can't pass. You can pass to me, though. And so our funniest outdoor adventure was the first time we ever took our boys skiing. I thought it was a great idea to take the kids to the top of the mountain first. But instead of this idealistic view of like get on the lift and get off the lift, what actually happened was pretty funny. And it was that Mike got on with our six-year-old Grayson, and they're traveling up the ski lift, and I'm behind them with our older son Reardon, and they go to get off, but Mike gets off and Grayson doesn't. And it was this whole big crazy thing where they had to stop the lift. Grayson was about 6 feet over Mike's head and had to jump.
I had to encourage him. Just keep scooting forward, buddy. Keep your skis wide. Daddy doesn't want to get, you know, his head split open with your skis. I'll catch you, I promise.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, see, you know what? Here's the difference. You say that was a funny outdoor adventure. That was only funny after the fact. To me, that was like an outdoor nightmare. And we can follow that nightmare up with the second nightmare that happened on that same exact trip, which is I'm now on the lift with the older guy, Reardon, and he's already had multiple ski lessons. So he knows how to get on and get off. And so in the same exact place, mid-station, I get off. And next thing I know, I hear, Dad, and he turns around and he just keeps going. And I'm standing there, I'm like, don't worry, little buddy. I'll come meet you. Don't worry, Daddy's gonna get you. And I literally stood at mid-station and they couldn't stop the lift. The people ahead were turning back to him saying, don't worry, we got you. When we get up there, we'll be waiting for you. And then finally, some guy who was coming up the lift saw me standing there. He's like, you wanna get on? I'm like, yes. And so I go and I jump on the lift. I follow him all the way up.
At that point, you yelled to me on the slopes. I was with Grayson, like, Reardon's on the lift by himself. I'm like, what?
And then, but the worst part was, is I had unstrapped my snowboard at this point. So I'm literally carrying my snowboard with me as we're going up the lift. I can't strap in. And so when we finally get to the top, I go to dismount. And because it's just a slope of ice and I have no board, all I do is tumble all the way to him. And he's standing there with a group of family who are just like, we got him for you. I was like, thank you so much. So
see, we have funny outdoor adventures. Right. So this is a fun opportunity for you, the listener, to get to really know us, you know, outside of coming on, talking about research, talking about crazy Netflix docuseries, and really just our life, because, you know, I think we're kind of interesting. Maybe you are too. All right. All right. That was very good. I enjoyed that. Next is most rewarding client experience. Wouldn't even do this like on purpose. Most rewarding client experience. Honestly, it's probably been in this 6-week challenge. It's been getting constant messages from people. You know, I'm eating more protein. My cravings are gone. I'm getting sleep. My husband can't believe I'm actually following through on this. I feel so much better. It was actually getting a text message last night from one of our studio clients. And she was like, look at this old picture of me basically putting it down. You know, it's just a reminder of who I never want to go back to. And I was like, whoa, like, yes, that is motivating. But also, like, let's be grateful for that version of yourself because she got you to where you are now. And she like sent back like hearty crying faces, you know. It's every day is very rewarding. But I would say most recently, it's the reward of watching these people just change micro habits in their life. And just how much better you feel with such tiny little baby changes.
I'm going to say that.
But you don't get to go. You got to pick. This is mine.
I don't care. I want to jump in.
Okay, fine.
Because I'm changing the rules of the game. This is how we're going to play now. All okay. Right. If somebody else wants to comment on the other persons, they get to. All right. I just wanted to add this one in because what was a very rewarding experience for me to watch was, although we have some amazing transformations, we watch people change their bodies, like that's great. But one of the most rewarding for me was actually a gentleman that we had trained at one time who came in body broken. He was already in his 70s. He had talked about how he had knee pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain, hip pain. He was on about 8 different medications for dealing with all this pain. And within 1 year of just training 2 times a week, pain disappeared, off all his meds. And to me, that was amazing. That wasn't even somebody I was working, you know, directly with. Just though, to see this person be able to exercise their way out of that condition was really awesome.
That's amazing. I have one more.
Oh, so you're changing the rules.
Yes.
You're going to do multiples now.
This one was cool. You know, we go beyond just obviously fitness. It's all of your life. And it was doing a vision board with clients. And one client in particular wanted to climb a specific mountain out west. She goes out west on an RV trip every year with her husband. And literally on the vision board was the car she wanted, the mountain she wanted to summit, and to get the pictures later in the year of her at the top of the mountain. Like, I did it. And then actually it was 6 months later, she was like, I got the Jeep that I wanted too. So it's amazing. Fitness, I think so many people think fitness is just like how I look. It's your whole life.
Yeah, there's so much more.
Okay, you get to go.
Great. Most unexpected carnivore story.
Oh.
I'm going to say that for me, the most unexpected thing was how much I would actually enjoy doing carnivore. I mean, I think initially the thought that, okay, I'm going to eat meat most of the time was, you know, it was attractive. And I was still in that place where there was that little bit of trepidation and fear over eating high fat. But I think that just falling in love with it and being able to eat fatty cuts of meat and enjoying it, and then maybe more unexpected than that was the changes in body composition, or the fact that nothing bad actually happened. You know, like I was yeah. waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I'm like, well, okay, when am I going to find out that, you know, this is not serving me? And here we are. I mean, probably going on 2 years now, close to 2 years following it, and I mean, I feel phenomenal, and just knowing that I get to live this way. And the unexpected benefit is being able to look the way that I want to look and keeping my strength gains, and the gym is still awesome. I mean, to me, that's been great.
You look pretty good too.
Thanks, I'll take it.
For me, it was doing it. I mean, I made fun of you for 6 months. Never in a million years. I mean, I didn't eat red meat for years of my life because it's not good for you and all the things that they tell you. So it was to do it. But really the second part was after I started doing it and just talking about it, where all the people that came out of the woodwork, like woodwork being like, I've done it too. I've been doing it too. I mean, there was our one friend, she and her husband are in our online program. And she was like, I am finally losing weight. Like, I've struggled forever with Hashimoto's and all this stuff. She's like, this is crazy. And then more recently, some of like the lacrosse moms on our local team that are like, tell me about carnivore. So it's unexpected that I would follow you. You would do it in the first place. And then all the people that are, I guess, motivated by it.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Great.
All right. That was good. Next, most embarrassing.
Please tell me this is client experience because I have one.
Fitness milestone.
Can there be an embarrassing fitness milestone?
I don't know. I mean, I guess for me, it was competing as a competitor, like putting in 9 months of work to get on stage. And then after doing what you and all the competitors did, and we went out and we ate and we drank, we had pizza, we had wine, we laid in our hotel room bed in Canada with ice cream and a spoon.
It's true.
And ate ice cream watching, and I was like, this is the best thing in the whole wide world. And it was the embarrassing thing was waking up the next morning and you wanted, we were like still dating at this point, you wanted to go hit the hot tub at the hotel. And I was like, I have to put on a bathing suit? Like, oh my God, like, why didn't he tell me this last night? This is really embarrassing. And I remember you were like, let me take pictures of you. And I was like, no. You were like, come here. You're so sexy. And I was like, get the heck away from me. That was rough. But I think that that's what a lot of competitors do. And obviously, we trained our way out of that. But that was pretty up there for me.
That's a good one. I don't have an embarrassing fitness moment. So I'm just going to break the rules. And I'm going to say most embarrassing client experience. And so I think this one's just, it's a funny, this could also have gone under, you know, funniest client experience story. But when I was working in Manhattan at David Barton Gym, you know, here I am, I'm a young trainer, 24 years old, you know, just starting to really build up my client base. And I had this one client, a female client, who is probably like a good, you know, 20 years older or so than me at the time, like kind of a high powered lawyer type. And she loved the workout. I mean, she loved getting pushed. She almost loved getting pushed a little bit too much. So we had this leg press that was in the back, and it was like right near the Pilates section. So our Pilates instructors are doing private sessions, and I'm setting her up on this leg press. And of course, you know, I'm a high intensity trainer. So my job is to push you to momentary muscular failure. So I'm pushing her through this set, and we're getting deep into the set, and you would have thought the depth was about something else because the noises that started coming out of this woman. She's like, she starts making noises where the instructors are actually looking at me, giving me the side eye like, you got to get her to stop doing that. I'm trying to tell her to breathe through it. I just get more sounds coming out of her. And I'm so dead set on taking her to failure. Like, today, I would have cut that set short.
Yeah.
And I would have said, all right, you're good enough. Like, let's go. But I was so intent on pushing it to failure that she was getting something else out of it.
Yeah.
And when it was finally over, I walked away. And it was later on, I go into the back and the trainers were like, you know, she was putting on a show for you, right? And that was the embarrassing part for me because I start turning red. I'm like, no, she's just working really hard. And they're like, you're so naive, you know, so.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
Worst.
Oh, boy.
Bodybuilding story. Oh, oof. I actually definitely have one that comes to the top of mind for this. And this was at the very first competition that I ever did. And in my preparation for that show, I had read the book Glucose Revolution. And it was all about following a low glycemic carbohydrate diet. So at the time, you know, I believed that high carb was still the way to go, just high carb, low fat, right? Moderate protein. And so I'm following this diet. And, you know, what ends up happening is I eat a lot of those. Remember those like Metrex bars?
Oh, yeah. I love
right?
those.
Those are really good. And to me, it was perfect. I mean, there was like 50 grams of carbohydrates in it.
30 grams of protein.
30 grams of protein, like only 9 grams of fat. And so that became a staple in my daily nutrition. Well, I show up at the show, I do my weigh-in, and afterwards I'm like, great, I could start eating. Well, I eat like about 2 of these bars because I got to carb up. And all of a sudden I just start farting. And literally somebody who is nearby, like probably only 3 or 4 people away, because we're all sitting in the back along a wall, right? And I'm just like, just kind of letting these out. Somebody's like, oh my God, who took a shh in out here? And all I could think, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so me. I probably need to change this nutrition plan just a little bit.
That's really good. Oh my gosh, there's actually quite a few that come to mind. I'm just trying to decide what I'd like to share with everyone. because I also did have a tooting story as well. I'll save that one. I would say for me, it was getting that tan lacquered onto my body where you go like 13 shades darker than what your normal skin is. And then having to use the restroom. And so I go and I don't think anything of it. You know, I sit down on the toilet seat, and when I get up, my lacquer is now on the toilet seat. And I was like, oh my God, like, what do I look like now? So walking out to the mirror and looking at this ring around the rosy that I literally had on my butt cheeks, I was like, that's not good. And so it was touching up with a sponge and more lacquer my butt area so that I didn't look like a freak getting on stage. So fun bodybuilding, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Next up, most memorable workout fail. Ooh.
I don't know.
A workout fail. I have one.
I have one, but I'm definitely not saying it. I don't mind letting you guys in on some secrets about me and some embarrassing moments, but this one I definitely cannot make mention of. So I'm just going to leave that one right there. I'm leaving this one alone.
I mean, I remember early on, I had just left my teaching career and was at Pure Physique and helping, and you had like a headache or you were sick. There was something that went on. And of course, like eager girlfriend or fiance, maybe at that point me, I was like, I'll help. Like I can go in and train, you know? I mean, I sat through every presentation he ever gave in Italy, his book front to back. I mean, you know, I knew, you know? But I didn't really understand the scope of work that it would take. And so I never forget going in and training one of your more professional men, taking him through. And I was like coaching like Mike, you know, and doing all the things. Well, then I had to pick up like a 70-pound dumbbell. And I was like, I don't know if I could do this, you know. And I remember it was like a wall squat. It was something where I had to grab this weight. And it was like the most painful thing at that point in my development where like I couldn't lift that. Now I'll squat that and that's fine. But at that point, I couldn't. And I remember like the embarrassment of like trying to, or the memorableness of failing miserably at trying to remove this dumbbell from the client's lap. And I was like, okay, like, let's go to the next section. And he was like, I got it. And I was like, okay, thanks. Maybe I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain capacity that you need to be able to uphold. And if, you know, handing people 70-pound dumbbells is part of it, maybe not.
Yeah.
But I actually do remember one, and it's a most memorable workout fail, and it's going to also serve as a warning, especially for those of you out there who have young men who train on their own. I remember I was actually in college, and because it was Bench Press Monday, I mean, every Monday is National Bench Press Day, I went into the gym, and there was literally nobody there. But, you know, because I know what I'm doing, I load up the bar, and I think at that point, I may have had about, like, 215 pounds on the bar, something like that, right? And it was something that I could handle, but it was going to be a struggle. And I remember I took it down for maybe one too many reps, and that bar literally got stuck on me. And I remember freaking out because there was literally nobody around in the gym. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you do? What do you do? And so I start rolling this bar down from my chest onto my rib cage, and then finally onto my stomach, just enough so that I could sit up, and then finally had to dump it, and then dump the weights off in order to put the bar back. Oh, so man. Thankfully there was not too many people around to witness that one, but that was pretty bad.
That's pretty memorable.
Yeah.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show. Only a couple more here. We hope that you're enjoying this. You know, people are always like, you know, we want to understand like what your life is like outside of the podcast, and hopefully.
Best inspirational meeting. I'm going to say that this was a very, very recent one, and I'm going to probably steal yours, but I'm going to say it was meeting Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
Like getting to listen to him talk, and then also having the opportunity to meet him and hear his story. The way that he grew up and just the work ethic and the mindset, to me, that was awesome to see, you know, somebody who has been at the highest heights of, you know, sports, is doing great things in business and as a motivational speaker, is a major influencer, but yet is so humble and is really just does all the right things. To me, that was the best inspirational meeting.
That's pretty awesome. That wasn't mine. But the interesting thing about that, and this is encouragement for everyone, is that saying or that quote that we'll overestimate what we could do in 1 year, but we'll underestimate what we can do in three. And it was literally to the month, 3 years earlier, we wanted to speak at an event with Tim Tebow and Ed Mylett. You remember that?
Yep.
And we were like very excited about it. Not everyone on our team was all about it, which was even funnier because we were like so excited about it happening. And it was literally 3 years to the month. We were at an event in Texas where both Ed Mylett and Tim Tebow spoke, and we got to get on the same stage. And that's how we ended up in the green room where we were able to see Tim. And I think the most embarrassing thing was that when I said to him first, I was like, "You're homeschooled, so are our kids." And Mike was like, "Shut up."
Like, yeah, we don't need to go there.
No. Mine was Tony Robbins. We did UPW, which is really cool. I know that, you know, a lot of people have done UPW, but it was going on to Business Mastery down in West Palm Beach and actually getting to like meet him. He called on us. It was a different type of Business Mastery where we had to form those teams.
Yes.
And as a team, we had to become known. We had to brand ourselves within the three-day event. And it was actually pretty cool. Like, I remember going to Walmart with our team. Like, we had a professional Canadian ice hockey player. We had a filmmaker who was like very passionate about sharks, who actually has since passed, really tragic. But we had such an outstanding team. And Tony called upon our team to stand up. And there's a picture of Mike and I talking to Tony, who's massive, by the way. That was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Is it my turn again?
I
thought it was. But most challenging, let's see, part of our relationship.
Oh,
most challenging trainer, employee, teammate experience.
Which one do you want to share?
Yeah, I know. It's like, where do I go from here? Well, I could definitely tell you about somebody who's no longer on the team. And it was early on when I had first opened Pure Physique. I had a particular trainer who she was very good at networking, if you will, very good at connecting with people. And so she connected very well with the male clients that we had at the time, so much so that sometimes one of them would come in and he really wasn't into training that day. So they would sit on the little love seat that we had in the waiting area and talk. And this happened multiple times, so many multiple times that I said, "You guys can take your talk somewhere else. You could get a new job because you're not fit for this, obviously." Because her whole platform was based on connecting with people versus actually being a trainer and doing your job as a trainer. And I remember the real reason why I ended up letting her go is because I gave her a lot of time. I mean, I took over like a year and a half to complete these certifications, get this work done. And, you know, the excuse was always, "I'm not a good test taker. It's this and that and the other thing." Yet, you know, you can spend time talking with the male clients. And finally, I was like, "You're not doing the stuff that you're committing to doing in order to grow as a professional. So this is probably not the place for you."
The craziest thing is the male client would pay for a personal training session.
Oh, I was charging them. I mean, like, you know, first of all, it's like, it's a training session. It's not a therapy session. But if you want to treat it as a therapy session, then I'm glad to charge you three times more.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. Back in the day, it was that red sofa that sat in the front, you know, window. And I'd come in and be like, "Don't they have like a training session?" And Mike's like, "Oh my gosh," you know. For me, it was actually, maybe it was like 3 years ago. It was a client who was like upset that she didn't get the results that she wanted to have. And I remember like she went into our Facebook group and was basically like bashing the program, bashing us and all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, like there's a way to complain and that's probably not it. Super negative. So anyway, ended up getting on the conversation and a phone call with her, mapped out everything. I mean, we have pretty good data tracking systems. But I said, "Listen, you have not been compliant, you know, like let's look at what it looked like." And basically what we came to with data is 30% of the week she was compliant with the plan. 70% she wasn't. And she was like, "Oh, okay. And I was like, "Listen, I'll continue to train you until you get the result. Like, we want you to be happy. We want you to be satisfied. You paid for a service. Like, let's do this together." And it was like 9 days in, she was like, "I can't do this. Like, I cannot commit to this. This is not for me." And I was like, "Hey, if you ever, you know, need anything else, we're here to help you." But, you know, glad we figured that out. But it was way more challenging than I'm kind of like letting on.
And, it was a real challenge. And yeah. And I think that you probably should have ended the conversation not with, if there's anything we can do, let us know, because then she just recently called us back, you know.
And I think she wanted the free training from 3 years ago I was like, no.
That's not how it works.
No. We did that already. We went down that road. All right. I think we got two more left. Most inspiring time with nutrition. For me, I mean, this is very, very recent, but it's been raising our kids. You know, they're very perceptive. They hear things, they pick up on things a lot. But we actually went to the supermarket not 3 nights ago, and I had both boys with me, and they wanted fruit roll-ups. You know, they see friends eating fruit snacks and fruit roll-ups, and we've, you know, since ditched fruit snacks out of the house. You can listen to like a year ago podcast, and Mike was very adamant about that. That's happened. It's great. But they wanted fruit roll-ups. So our older guy, Reardon, who's now 9 and a half, got a box of fruit roll-ups, and then he got like the healthy, it's like a cute little bear with like fruit wrap, whatever. And he's looking at it. And we had this whole conversation that I filmed. And I just thought that it was such a valuable conversation that like they've been listening. They've been paying attention. And without me even saying like put the fruit roll-ups back, he literally put it back on the shelf. Like, I don't want to eat that. It has corn syrup and it has got seed oils and it's got all this stuff in it. It was amazing. And then our little guy, Grayson, picked up. He was like, is that a Pop-Tart? Is that what you used to eat in middle and high school? I was like, yeah, that's what it is. And we read the ingredients. Like, that's disgusting. We can't believe you used to eat that. So it's that example. I think for a lot of parents, we live in fear that our kids are going to do what we do, or our kids are going to experience the health challenges that we have. But at the end of the day, more is caught than taught. And so if you are living that out, it catches, you know, kids will catch it. And so I was very inspired by our sons just paying attention.
I'm going to go with something a little different here. This was not inspiring because of my nutrition or anything we did, but it was actually that of a client. And I'm going to shout her out, Annalisa, who's our good friend from Italy. One of the first visits I did over there to teach on personal training and on our style of training, we sat down, we had a conversation about competition. And so she had already been a competitor for a few years. And, you know, with my experience, I started discussing, you know, the approach that I would take if I were her with regards to nutrition. And at that point, during that lunch, you know, she and her husband asked me, like, would you coach me? And so I said, sure, absolutely. So I coached her over the course of the next year. And what was inspiring was that, you know, she actually wound up placing third in the worlds. Italy never had a competitor place in the top five. Yeah. And so she ended up placing third that year. And what made it inspiring was not just the result, it was how committed she was to doing everything that she was told to do. I mean, there was no questioning. There was no, you know, resistance at all. It was, what do I have to do to get to this?
Yeah.
And it was like, do that. And she was like, okay.
She looked amazing. And she still does. Yeah. Well, how about how inspiring it is that she and her husband took that into their coaching?
Yeah.
The two of them are in their 50s and they're ripped, shredded.
Christian looks amazing. And I think what you can also take away from that, which has been really inspiring, was that off of the back of that success, they themselves have been able to parlay that into coaches, probably the most well-known coaches in Italy now with respect to nutrition for natural bodybuilders. And what's been amazing is just they've done such a tremendous job and have helped so many other competitors get into their best shape. So it's just been awesome watching what they've been able to do.
That's a good one. All right, last up, last but not least.
Most surprising moment at the gym. Well, this is easy. When Mike asked Corey Beth out on a date. There we go.
Oh my gosh, that's good.
That probably has to be it.
I mean, that's it for me too. I met my husband in a gym. I said at 8 years old, Mom and Dad, I'm going to meet my husband at the gym one day. And I really had no idea why I said that or what that meant. But yeah, I stepped foot into your gym and so rest is history.
I think what's most surprising for me is that even though that had always been my dream outcome, that I would meet my wife in the gym, and because she would be into fitness and she'd look awesome and she'd be blonde. What was most surprising is that it actually happened, because I always expected that to happen in a big gym. And the moment that I opened up Pure Physique, Well, actually, even long before that, when I just started personal training, I was like, there is no way I'm ever going to date a client. But it's like, then how the heck am I going to meet my wife? Yeah. You know, like, how is this going to work out? And then when it was me opening up my own studio, it was even more far removed that this would ever happen because of how unprofessional that would be. And yet here we are.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I'll never forget walking in. I always thought that too. I'd meet him at a big box gym. Like, he'd be in the weight section. I'd be on the treadmill, like, in my head. But to walk into your studio, yeah, I didn't think that. And you weren't even my trainer. So, you know.
Well, not yet.
At first, yeah. So amazing. All right. Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed, you know, this episode, some insights into our lives. I hope that it maybe answered some questions that have come in that people have had. But at the end of the day, you know, I think, how do you want to end this?
Goodbye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
I don't care. I want to jump in.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.